Welcome to Think Tank, the podcast. I'm Steve Adubato. We're coming to you from the beautiful East Main Media Studios. Joining me on the air is Nicole Swinnerton, the senior producer of Think Tank, the broadcast scene on a whole range of public television stations. How are we doing today?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing great. Who do we have on Think Tank, the podcast today?
We have Chris Cuomo, who's the anchor of CNN's Cuomo Primetime.
Yeah, and that was a very important conversation we had at the end of 2019 over at the Tisch WNET Studios in New York. And Chris Cuomo talked about a range of issues. And before we get into Chris, let's thank our funders of Think Tank, the podcast, to RWJ Barnabas Health, to the New Jersey Sharing Network, to New Jersey Resources and Gibbons, and let folks know where they can listen to Think Tank, the podcast.
Sure. So to hear more Think Tank podcasts, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Google Play, or visit our website at steveadubato.org. That's A-D-U-B-A-T-O. You can also follow us on Twitter at Steve Adubato and on Facebook at Steve Adubato PhD to see more great content.
Thank you, Nicole. As we listen to Chris Cuomo, here are some of the things that we talked about. Number one, President Trump. Shocking. So I also asked in this particular episode of Think Tank, the podcast, I asked Chris Cuomo how he could every night at 9 o'clock, and before him, Anderson Cooper, and after him, Don Lemon. How could they talk about Donald Trump 24/7? Do you get tired of it? Do you think we are tired of it? What is being missed in terms of issues and substantive things that matter when you talk about Donald Trump all the time? The other thing, Nicole, we talked about is the issue of media bias and the fact that the president has not only called us fake news, but he said we are the enemy of the people. By the way, as a young journalist in our business here in public broadcasting, are you offended by that?
Absolutely. I think it's very upsetting to hear the leader of our country, any leader, anyone actually, to not trust the media, who is working hard every single day to just cover the news and to deliver the news to people and deliver the facts to people. So it's
bigger
upsetting.
Than that, the enemy of the people.
It's very upsetting to hear that, definitely.
Yeah, and Chris Cuomo talks about his view of that. Chris also, and by the way, this is the fourth time I think Chris has joined us on our programming. Chris Cuomo, who, by the way, you can check him out every night on CNN at 9. He talked about the impact that this has had on him personally. He's been pulled into this. He had Rudy Giuliani on, a very historic and significant interview in which he and Giuliani went at it. And while Chris talks about maintaining his composure, he has a temper. Trust me, we're personal friends. I know he has one, but not on the air. And Rudy Giuliani went at him personally, attacked him, talked about his family, talked about the fact that Chris was a less than honest person. And Chris Cuomo talked about in our interview that you're about to hear on Think Tank, the podcast, how difficult it was to keep his composure. But his responsibility to keep his composure. And Nicole, let me ask you, we've been doing programming for a while. You're the senior producer of Think Tank, the broadcast. Is there any place in your view for those of us who are on air, whether it's CNN or public broadcasting or whatever, to ever show our emotions?
You know, I think that there is a place for it. However, you have to pick your spots. I think that getting upset when somebody calls you names or something like that is not appropriate. I think that, let's say you're delivering something very emotional, you can show your emotion. We're
all
human.
No, I'm talking about being angry at a guest and getting into the name calling
and
criticizing that person on a personal level. Is there any place for that?
There's not any place for it, especially when it's your show and you have the control to be able to say, this is the type of programming I would like to put out.
But you also represent everyone behind the scenes and the networks that have you on the air. It's
absolutely.
Not just you.
Absolutely. So I think that you need to realize that. And I think Chris even says in an interview, his wife told him that you're not the victim. There are a lot of other people here who are being affected a lot harder than you are. And you need to have the responsibility to handle yourself in a mature way. And if it's going up, then, you know, going above, then that's the way to do it.
And so on Think Tank, the podcast with Chris Cuomo from Cuomo Primetime at 9 o'clock every night on CNN, he talks about media bias. He talks about the president. He talks about, as I raised the question of Trump fatigue, he also talked about where we are, excuse me, as a country. Let me just say this, and I want to disclose this. I've told Chris, and I've said this many times on the air, that the most significant interview I've ever done in my 30 years of broadcasting, you haven't actually been on the earth for 30 years?
Nope.
If that doesn't make me feel really old, I don't know what would. But it was in 2002 when I interviewed at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center. I interviewed the late, great, in my view, Governor Mario Cuomo, Chris's dad. Remember, Chris's brother is, in fact, the governor of New York. I also did a pilot with Maria Cuomo back in 1987. We did a pilot broadcast, and the reason you don't know about it is because it wasn't very good, not because of Maria, because of me. But Chris and I go back, our families are connected, but the most significant interview I ever did was with Mario Cuomo, and we talked a lot about citizenship. We talked a lot about democracy. We talked about civility. And it's so interesting this many years later to see and listen to Chris Cuomo be in a very different situation with a very different kind of president. I know all this is way before your time, but that makes it more interesting, doesn't it?
It does. And it's interesting to see how Chris, as a part of the media, is handling certain things compared to the rest of his family as a really a part of politics. It's just interesting to see how everybody is affected by it in different ways. And I have a feeling that because his family has been so ingrained in this for so long, he's seeing it in a unique way.
Yeah, it is not personal, even though some people take it personally and attack people personally. That's not who we are at Think Tank, the podcast, or on Think Tank, the broadcast, or any one of our programs, State of Affairs or One-on-One. It's not who we are. I'm bored by it, and it's also dangerous. And I want to thank our funders who allow us to do what we do and have civil discourse all the time. RWJ Barnabas Health, the New Jersey Sharing Network, New Jersey Resources, Gibbons, and a whole range of others. Check out our programming on steveadubato.org. Right away, you're going to listen to a quick public service announcement, and then we go to the Tisch WNET studio as we listen to our good friend, the very thoughtful Chris Cuomo of CNN. Check it out on Think Tank, the podcast.
You may not have heard of TAVR. Raj and Sandhya have. It's the minimally invasive alternative to open-heart valve replacement. RWJ Barnabas Health is New Jersey's leading TAVR provider, and we continue to perfect it. Patients are often back to their lives in just a few days. Innovative valve replacement surgery. Because you can't be replaced. RWJ Barnabas Health. Let's be healthy together.
Welcome One-on-One. I'm Steve Adubato from the Tisch WNET studio. Once again, you saw him in the open we have. He's here right now. It's Chris Cuomo, anchor of CNN's Cuomo Primetime every night, 9 p.m. Good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you, doctor.
Good to see you, buddy. I'd love to have you on where we can talk about fun things, Italian life, growing up in a family.
Me too.
Yeah, we can't, though. We're doing this, we're taping, you'll see it on the screen, December the 4th. Put things in perspective. You were talking about Tonight's Show. Look at Tonight's Show and moving forward. For the next 3 to 6 months, are we going to be talking about the same thing?
3 to 6 months? I don't think so, because the Democrats seem to be in a hurry. I think it's one of the biggest points of vulnerability for them in this process. Is the speed, what they explain as the alacrity. But just because you use a big word doesn't change the idea. Why so fast? Their better argument is that they are being stymied, that, well, you won't give us, you won't produce, and the litigation is really a distraction, and we don't need it. So that's why we're just doing this at the pace at which we find, not rushing. The argument that they're rushing suggests what? Well, maybe the truth, which is they're making a political calculation, which is not wrong. This is a political process, but they want to get this done quickly enough.
Impeachment is a political
process. It is. It is inherently, by definition, and with all expectations, political. To even compare it, well, you know, in a court of law, Steve, we would... But the founders knew that it was different. That's why they didn't list homicide, kidnapping, and burglary as what they wanted investigated.
But they listed bribery.
Right.
And...
Treason and other high crimes and misdemeanors, but they did so in clear historical context to an impeachment that they were watching at the time when they were in the convention and doing the thinking around this, which is, of course, a very protracted process. And they were mirroring what was happening in the state of reflection, which was the UK. And what they were trying to do was capture the same kind of perfidy, the faithlessness, the breach, the abuse of power that they saw being tried in England. That's what they wanted to catch. You're abusing your job, you're doing it for your own interests, and you're involving foreign powers. That makes it the worst.
Chris, let me ask you this. You and I have talked offline a fair amount, and I let you know what I'm thinking as I'm watching you. And I'm always amazed that you're able to... It seems like you're tweeting while you're doing the show, but you're not. It's during the breaks.
Yeah, depends.
But here's the thing.
No, yeah,
here's
during the breaks.
I often do wonder this. For you, personally and professionally, is there a part of you that says, I'm getting tired of doing this?
I'm tired of doing it, no.
Of Trump?
No. I think
no part of you?
No, I think it's really important, only because you're coming at it the wrong way for me individually. I'm not tired of it. There's zero quit in me. I think the opportunity is so precious. That's what Let's Get After It is all about.
The responsibility.
I'm 100%. I mean, this period in history is going to be what's remembered in my professional life.
How did Chris Cuomo, all of us, But in your case, Chris Cuomo handled this time in history.
Yeah.
Did he step up?
Yeah. How will you be remembered? And I'm not saying something about some vain legacy.
We all have a responsibility.
This matters this time. What did you do? Now, is it way more punishing than I ever anticipated? And do I sometimes wonder if it is worth it?
On a personal level.
Yes.
You've been attacked personally.
100%.
You've become part of the story. Are those times with your children, your family, do you say, hey, wait a minute?
More than I've ever dealt with in my life, more than I've ever anticipated, more than I would have ever imagined, and more than I can rationalize. This president, now, anybody who watches my show, I take great pains to be fair on my show, to have his side represented, to have their arguments exposed, test them one way or the other, do so with decency. It is not always easy. This president has been personally mean to me and my family. He retweeted one of his foot soldiers taking a shot at my mother not too long ago. That's who he is. That's who he's always been. There is no change in this president from the man I've known most of my adult life. He has been mean to me. He has put my family at risk, and he knows it.
But that's not who he was when you were growing up knowing him as a
100%
kid. 100%
is who he was. If you weren't giving him what he wanted, he would do whatever he had to do. He was rough on my father. He was rough on my brother. He was rough on local politicians.
But didn't have this power.
He was rough on his wives. You know, anybody who he was sideways with, I'm not saying abusive, but sideways with, he'd attack.
Yeah, and that is, by the way, Reed, Wayne Barrett, and a bunch of other people who have written about him extensively back in the day. But that being said, having the power to do that as president, totally different.
Yeah, because what happens is he thinks it's just a fair exchange. You know,
you hit me, I hit you harder.
That's right.
And Chris, come on, you're a tough, you're a guy, you're physical. Come on, stop being
right.
A baby.
And he's 100% right, except the millions and millions of people who take what he says as gospel. You know, people say he's so full of himself. I see it the opposite way. I don't think he understands his power and his reach. When he says it's okay to call me some Italian slur and see me as the enemy of the people, now you've got millions of people who are looking at you sideways where I live. You know, I'm mostly out on the island, which is a very mixed. My family is mixed. My friend group is mixed. And, you know, they're at least real conservatives and Republicans. You know, they're not all into Trump.
My friends, same thing.
But now my life is, thank God for my size. Thank God for my physicality. Because I see guys all the time who are looking at me like, there he is. And then I come walking in, they're like, oh, he's a little bit bigger than
I thought. Hold on, then you're the enemy. Like, to them.
Yeah.
You're not just the philosophical, ideological, politically with a certain point, or just with CNN, right?
No.
Whatever.
I've never gotten threats like this in my life. I've never had stuff sent to me online like this. My kids, my daughter getting accosted in person. I mean, this is new and bad. Now, that said, this is an amazing opportunity. I understand the state of play, and I expose myself to it. Where my wife smacks me on this is, you're no victim. You ask for this. Now, I would argue she's wrong, but that's always a mistake.
I agree.
Put myself in the position to be scrutinized by the president and his people.
But you didn't expect to this degree.
I think it offends any sense of fairness. I certainly would never do or say anything. And that idea, Steve, alone, that I have to, as a journalist, scrupulously adhere to a standard that is above our president is laughable. Yeah. Laughable.
And the other thing, I don't want to complicate things, but you and I have talked about this in other times you've been here. Because your dad was such, obviously, a huge part of your life and your siblings, but for me, journalistically, I told you, the last interview I did with him back in the early 2000s, just an extraordinary impact on me as a journalist, and just as an Italian-American, we've been through that. Your dad lived his public life in a very different way, which clearly influences you, your brother, your siblings, et cetera. Does that make it even worse? Because you come from a public family, people say, oh, it's politics. It's all the same. Everyone's nasty. This is different.
I think it is offensive to public service. I think back to the days of what my father was criticized for in terms of, you know, how he took the argument to the media, et cetera, how he dealt with opposition. And look, it's all fair. You want to enter the game, you're going to get scrutinized. But everybody knows this is different. What is interesting to me is how people decide to handle it. I think it's been interesting to watch the media police its own more so than the offending parties.
What does that mean, police our own?
That if you get into it with somebody right now, you have a better chance of having the media come at you and say, ah, well, he's become what he opposes and he's just as bad as. Yeah, but since when we were on equal footing with people who have the power, who were put into positions of power and trust? I think that this time is going to be very interesting 20 years from now about people saying, well, wow, that was a real cataclysm. And I don't mean that in some scary way. I don't think that we are on the road to any kind of ruin.
Well, how do we get past this?
I mean, I think...
Donald Trump, I can't be talking to you.
I'm saying you're the historian. You've seen all this stuff in the history of leadership.
I'm just older than you. If Donald Trump wins again,
yeah,
this impeachment process plays out, and we expect, okay, fine.
He gets impeached, he doesn't get removed.
Ah, because the Senate's the Senate, and the numbers are what they are. Okay, he wins again in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Forget about Democrats, Republicans. It's not how you and I view things. What do you think it means for the Republic?
I think that... if you look at the moves in history, you see that great change only comes bottom up, not top down. So unless you have some kind of resulting movement, either in great support of the changes he wants to bring to society or in revulsion to them, and I mean that in a very pacifistic way, you know, I mean, that there's some
yes.
real within the means, you know, because violence gets nobody anywhere, and it just assures that whatever you're fighting for dies faster. But I think that you see more of the same. Some people say he'll be worse than ever. I don't think so. I think if he were to win again, he'll start to become legacy conscious, and he'll start to think about, well, we got to get some, let me start cutting some deals, because you got to remember who he is, Steve. He's not Dr. Adubato, where once he has good reason to be upset about something, he's upset until the facts change. This man is not burdened by principle other than self-preservation. So once it becomes about his legacy, he comes back to Adubato and be like, hey, look, you know, you and I had our issues. And meanwhile, he's done like the worst things imaginable to you for months at the biggest stage in the world. But I want to try to get something right here now. So what do you want? What can we do?
Transactional.
He is
purely
100% transactional, unless he doesn't see it as good for him. Now, that's a meaningful distinction. Clinton was transactional.
Very.
He's getting impeached. He's cutting deals. Why? Because he thought that was more in his benefit and he could see past the pain.
Trump is different how?
It's all about him. So... if you're coming at him, he can't see past that. When people have said, are you going to work with the House right now? You're going to, what does he say? No, no way. They're going to do this? No way. Clinton took a different path. He got the highest numbers of his job performance during the impeachment process. Whew. You all right? Sorry.
Yeah, Mark. I was looking forward to this interview. And
no more?
No, I am. I'm glad you came in.
A lot of my subjects feel like that.
Real quick, before I let you go, the Rudy interview, I actually remember texting you that night. Mm. A lot of people, I'm sure, did. How significant was the Rudy interview for you that night and beyond?
That night, not so much.
Did you know it was happening when it was happening?
You know, look, you're such a great interviewer because you're an active listener. In the moment, you don't really know what something is or how it's going to be perceived. You just know where it is in that moment. But here's where the team was right. When he said, Mr. Giuliani, so quickly, yes, I'll come on, because he had been not coming on for weeks. And I thought to myself, well, that's weird that I got such a quick yes there. And then we started to think about, well, why would he have said yes so quickly? And we guessed, oh, I know what this is. This is the window of opportunity for him to do in fulsome fashion what he's been hinting at, which is you want to talk about a phone call between the two presidents, you're missing the whole picture. The mm-hmm. whole picture is the So we prepared for the Bidens and the Ukraine conspiracy, and that just happened to be the right guess. So I was fine with it. I didn't expect the personal animus.
Really personal.
I've never seen the mayor that way. I have tremendous respect for him.
You didn't hit him back personally. You never do.
It's not what I'm about.
You never
about.
Do.
And frankly, I don't think that's what he's about either. And I don't like being sideways with him personally or perceived that way by his people. I don't like that. He's welcome on my show. I wish him well. I don't like to see people being investigated. But we knew it was coming. I was hoping to get him to just reveal their actual inclinations. And he did.
He did.
And that made a difference because
we saw
an op-ed not soon thereafter that seven holdouts
yeah.
went for impeachment because of what he said.
Real quick, Jen, what do you want? Want me to ask about Bloomberg? Really, this show is going to be seen in a few months. Is it still going to be relevant? I'm sorry. I don't know.
I don't see it.
You don't see it?
Bloomberg's a lot smarter man than I am. He's welcome on the show to make the case to
his
people.
He's wealthier than all of us together and everyone at 100%. PBS.
How he made his money matters also, and shows a facet of the American dream.
Yep.
And the burden of work and being smart and being driven, all good messages. What is his path? Because he didn't have one when he looked at it the first time. What changed? Just a weak field? Perceived how? I think he's got to explain it, and I think he has to let the American people know, why me personally? You got to win that who do you want a beer contest, or you don't win any contest.
True. Hey, Chris would be fun to have a beer with.
Tequila.
Don't work out with him.
Tequila is my thing.
Tequila is your thing?
Only.
You work out every, I'm not even talking about your ridiculous workout routine.
I bang my head against the wall. Does that count as exercise?
Yeah, okay. Chris Cuomo, every night, CNN. 9 o'clock, check him out, and thank you for joining us again, my
Doctor,
friend.
Always a pleasure. I love you.
You guys, same here. Steve Adubato, Chris Cuomo, check us out right after this.
I could feel my lungs fill with oxygen, and I got my life back.
The Sharing Network means to me hope, life, and everything.
The Sharing Network was a lifeline to me when I really needed it.
We are an organ procurement organization.
The core purpose of the New Jersey Sharing Network is to save and enhance lives.
To honor those who gave.
Pay tribute to those who received.
Offer hope to those who continue to wait.
And remember the lives lost while waiting.
For the gift of life.
One-on-One with Steve Adubato has been a production of the Caucus Educational Corporation. This special edition of One-on-One with Steve Adubato is brought to you from the Tisch WNET Studios at Lincoln Center. Funding has been provided by RWJ Barnabas Health, New Jersey Sharing Network, New Jersey Resources, the law firm of Gibbons PC, United Airlines, MD Advantage Insurance Company, Guarini Institute for Government and Leadership at St. Peter's University, and by Kessler Foundation, promotional support provided by Tap Into TV, and by Jaffe Communications, transportation provided by Airbrook Limousine, serving the metropolitan New York, New Jersey area.